Lord, you are the God of abundance, giving bountiful life to the world. You fill our emptiness with your goodness. You come to our weakness with your strength. Take and use these gifts to bring in a rich harvest of your heavenly food and life-giving refreshment. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading this morning is not what's in your bulletins, so surprise. It comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, in the English Standard Version of the Bible. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. So as you know by now, Pastor Michelle had to unexpectedly leave for her uncle's funeral this week. And her sermon was originally going to be on Acts 9, as you can see in the bulletin. But as I was preparing for the last couple of days, that scripture text just wasn't speaking to me, as that happens sometimes. And the more I prayed, the more I felt like the Lord was actually giving me an entirely different topic to preach on. And that is waiting. I, Angie Dornish, am terrible at waiting. Patience is something that I really struggle with. In the last few years, I feel like I've gone from one period of waiting to another. Russ and I were engaged all of 2018, and if I'm being completely honest, it sucked. I hated being engaged. I hated waiting and waiting for the wedding and prepping and talking about it and yada, yada, yada. I just wanted to be married. And then the wedding came, and it was perfect and holy and wonderful, and it was over, and Russ and I spent the next 9 days counting down to when we got to go on our honeymoon. And every day after work, we would go, oh, we just want to be in Tahiti. And we had the little countdown on our phone. And finally, the honeymoon came, and we were convinced that everywhere we went was like a screensaver. And all of Getty Images is just apparently all around Tahiti because it is magical. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what we were thinking, which is, oh, well, now all the waiting is over, and everything is just peaceful and perfect in the Dornish house. False. Russ and I are still in the season of waiting because now that we're a married couple, you're stuck in the United Methodist Church and the ordination process. Because I am working towards becoming an elder in full connection in the United Methodist Church, well, it takes a long time. And let me tell you something, church family, nothing will test a human being's patience more than the ordination process in the United Methodist Church. It is years. I don't even care if the conference listens to this later. Let them hear it. It's a nightmare. It's years of waiting. It is hurry up and get your paperwork done because everyone's going to judge you. Oh, and wait. And then it's hurry up and you have to go to Casper, Wyoming for a week because you have all these interviews with scary people who are going to ask you questions. And then wait. I mean, years of this, okay? It's like theological, like waterboarding. I don't know. It's bad. And you know, I know that you're like, okay, well, maybe this is a sermon for you. Yes, it is. But raise your hand if you struggle with waiting or if you are waiting on something right now. Yes, thank you. We all wait. So this is something that we can all resonate from. And this is not a sermon from me. This is a sermon for all of us from the Lord. I truly believe that. So whether you're here today and you are waiting maybe on reconciliation in a relationship, and you just feel like it's not going to happen, or you're waiting on test results from your doctor, or you're waiting, like some of our students, on college admission letters, or you're waiting on a job promotion, and man, every time you see your boss, you're like, I just don't think it's going to happen, or you're waiting in the drive-thru of McDonald's, which is now a 2 drive-thru. So now you hate that person that's next to you, and you're rushing trying to beat them. You're like, oh, well, they got to order. They're going to order. Oh, I got to beat them in line. And then, you know. So wherever you're waiting, we're all waiting throughout our day. So what does it mean in 2019 as Christ followers to wait? And what does it mean to wait well? Because I really do truly think that Scripture teaches us that we can have peace and joy and love in the midst of seasons of waiting. So I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 one more time. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if we peel back the spirituality of what the Lord is teaching us in this verse, God is saying that there are so many promises for us, so many promises that will come into fruition, but only if we're patient. How many of you know that God cannot be rushed? It's really annoying. God cannot be rushed. You can rush your kids. You can rush your spouse. You can rush your boss. You can rush, I don't know, anyone here. Like, come on, come on, we got to go to the Olive Garden. But guess what? You cannot rush God. It's very frustrating. His timing is perfect. He's never early or late, but usually he's never in the timing we want. And for me, when I read scripture about patience and waiting, we realize that there's a lot of farming analogies. Galatians chapter 6 talks about sowing and reaping, for example. It says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest. I think there's temptation for us in this because we live in a culture of technology, right? We have everything we need at our fingertips all of the time. If we don't know something, we can Google it. If we don't want to run out and get lunch at work, I do this sometimes at church, somebody we don't know will come and bring us our food. It's all instantaneous. But there is this natural progression of waiting that happens in this time between when we sow and when we reap. It's designed that way. And if you're a farmer, if you know farmers like I do, because I'm from Greeley, I know lots of farmers, there is a season during the year that you plant, and then it looks like nothing is happening for months. And you pray that there'll be good rains, and you pray for snow, and you pray and pray, and then later on, months and months and months later, then you reap a harvest. My mom used to say growing up, anything that's worth having or worth doing, Angie, takes time, and it's true. So we wait, and we're learning to wait in the midst of a culture that just provides instantaneous feedback, and pleasure, and whatever we want. Something that makes me feel better in seasons of waiting, like I am now, like I feel like I am always, is to know that this is actually incredibly biblical. We're in good company. There are a lot of people in the Bible who had to go through really hard seasons of waiting, so I hope their stories will encourage you like they've encouraged me. Noah. Let's talk about Noah. Most biblical scholars believe that Noah had to wait 120 years from the time that God said it's going to rain to the time it took him to finish building the ark. 120 years. About half the time it takes Russ and I to put together IKEA furniture. So, good job, Noah. It's good. Noah, can you imagine being one of Noah's neighbors going, oh my gosh, another decade, another decade, another decade. It's not year after year, it's decade after decade. He's still working on this thing. But Noah continued to persevere and wait until God's promise came into fruition. And then there's Abraham, the father of the nations. He has been known as our father of our faith, but guess what? He was not good at waiting, and he messed up. God told him, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the son of promise. His name is Isaac. But Abraham was 100, and his wife was 90. And he said, well, God couldn't have meant that I was supposed to be with Sarah. I'm going to have a child with my maidservant, Hagar. That's probably what God meant. I'm just going to take matters into my own hands. And Ishmael was born, and that was not God's plan. That was Abraham wanting fast results. And it caused a lot of negative consequences and pain. But God did not disqualify him. Even still, God made Abraham, the father of many nations, and at 100 years old, Isaac, his son, was born. Moses, the Israelite, grew up 40 years in the house of Pharaoh in Egypt, murdered somebody, ran away to live in exile for another 40 years in the desert. And when this guy was 80 years old, he was walking around in the desert, and all of a sudden this bush was burning, and God was speaking through it saying, "Hey, remember me? I'm Yahweh, and you, Moses, even though you have a speech impediment, you're going to deliver my people from Pharaoh." 80. He was 80. And he's like, "You're going to go. Sorry, I know you've been hanging out in the desert for 40 years, but it's over. Okay, I'm going to redeem you and your story, and you're going to use me, and I'm going to use you to bring my people out of captivity into freedom." So if you are here this morning, because we have a very intergenerational church, and you are thinking, "I have missed God's plan for my life. I have been waiting and waiting for God's promises to come true, but I'm too old," that is clearly not true. Our God is a God who works through people of all ages. So if you are 5 or 16 or 32 or 45 or 67 or 90, God will continue to keep coming to you and saying, "I have a unique plan for you and a purpose for your life. Have patience with me as I, God, the God of the universe, am working." And the greatest example, I think, is Jesus. Jesus had to wait 30 years knowing all along what he was sent to earth to do. 30 years he had to wait until his ministry started. We see in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man when he was a young boy. Right? His parents left him at the temple. They were like, where's Jesus? We forgot him. And he was a teenager, and he's like, "Don't you understand that I was in my father's house?" He was preparing the whole time, knowing that he was going to be our loving sacrifice, perfect sacrifice on the cross. The truth is, God is always working in the waiting. Waiting is not a passive term in the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 2 says, "God is at work both for your own benefit and for his divine will." So the beautiful thing about God's prevenient justifying and sanctifying grace for us as Methodists is that God is always creating scenarios to help us get to where we need to go in our destiny. Things pop up, and you're like, "Huh, that's kind of weird." Well, it's a God thing. God is always creating scenarios to help us get where we need to be. And just because it's not working in your timing does not mean it's not going to happen. So hear what I have to say. God's delay is not God's denial. The delay of God is not the denial of God. And I think the temptation for us to get so fixated on what we want to happen now that we miss what God is presently doing. I received the call to become a pastor when I was 19 years old in South Africa. A man looked me dead in the eyes. He said, "You have been anointed to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. You and your destiny is to be a pastor." Boom, drop the mic, walk away. Never saw him again. And since then, it has been a long and rough journey. The call to ministry is not an easy one, friends, and there's a reason it's called a divine calling. And I remember a very particular season of waiting in 2015. I was sitting in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., crying out to the Lord, saying, "Is this ever going to happen? Are your promises for me ever going to come into fruition?" And I flipped to the Book of Common Prayer in the pew in front of me, and I turned right to the page on pastoral ordination, the sacred rite and vows that a pastor takes. And I immediately heard the voice of God saying, "Not right now, Angie, but not never." Hear me when I say that God's delay is not God's denial. And sometimes in the delays, God is intentionally building us up and giving us the tools that we need to grow in character. Because the thing is, God is not going to let your dream that has been given to you crush you by giving it to you too early. God is going to prepare you and work in the midst of waiting. And I think the important thing for us to remember is that waiting is not a passive term for us either. God is working in the waiting, and we should be working in the waiting. The best way for us to have peace, love, and joy in the midst of waiting is worship, church family. It is in worshiping the Lord. If you are afraid, if you are waiting for test results, if you are waiting for a phone call, if you keep checking the mail and you are anxious, you know what you need more than anything is to get down on your knees and pray. To ask the Lord of the universe to be with you. And to remember that he is on the throne, not you. And when that voice of the enemy just whispers lies when you're discouraged and says it's not going to work out, those dreams are dead, you're waiting and waiting in vain for nothing, it is imperative to stand on the good news of the gospel, which is that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So if you are in that season of waiting in life, get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Ask people around you, this church body, to hold you up and worship the Lord. It changes everything. Russ and I, anytime we're anxious, I go, oh, we need to pray. Prayed in the car the other night. It changed everything. So if you are here today, and you're like me, and you're like, I'm tired. You're maybe waiting for a financial breakthrough. You're like, you know, where's the airplane that God, you know, promised me? I want $80 million. Well, work hard. Work where you're at. If you're waiting for that reconciliation in your relationship, pick up the phone. Do your part. Write that letter. Meet up with that person. And know that there are times when we only learn what God needs us to learn in the valleys. Not in the mountaintops. The mountaintop experiences are great, but guess what? It's in the dirt and it's in the pit that we grow in character, we grow in wisdom, we grow in perseverance, and those gritty moments are used for the benefit of everyone around us. Because we get that wisdom that other people need when they're suffering too. That is the goodness of waiting. So my prayer for all of us today, church family, is that we would grow in maturity, trusting in God and realizing that God is working on our behalf and for our good, and that ultimately, no matter what, God is for us. Amen.
Our song of response is to